Yo, what's bappin', sports fans? I hate this team. I'm Aaron. With me is the hockey dipshit, Stefan Heck.
I'm back.
He's
the
back.
The Canucks played a game so good that I posted on X. That's how good the game was.
It was in like Francesco Aquilini fashion. Came back with a banger.
Good numbers on it, I feel like. For my first post on there in like 7 months. So,
There's bigger things to get into, obviously.
Sure.
Where are you sitting at with Francesco right now? Because between the somebody should buy them dinner reference, or like I should buy them dinner, and the great atmosphere, almost like a playoff game after game one.
Yeah.
He's been doing some like self-aware bangers.
I will say, I think clearly he maybe hired someone else to run his shit, because I don't think he's coming up with that stuff on his own necessarily.
Yeah, like, does he have like a team behind him, like, to do funny tweets now? Is that the...
That's the feeling I get, I feel like. Which, like, again, is more self-awareness than... Like, yeah, having the self-awareness to let someone else post for you, which I'm guessing is what's happening. Mm-hmm. And having the self-awareness as like a crazy billionaire to be like, okay, I can do a little bit of like self-deprecation here.
Yeah.
That's smart on his part, because it's going to win over the majority of people. But obviously, I think he's still like a huge piece of shit.
No, I'm like, all right, this guy ain't half bad. This does feel like a playoff game. I guess it's like, it's similar to hiring a general manager and like hockey ops and just letting them run the team instead of having a buffer.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of trying to like exert your will. So maybe he just learned from like Jim Rutherford and this experience of the Canucks like doing well.
I mean, got his own social media guy. It's like, it should not be a coincidence. Like, I really hope he has learned by now. Okay, let's see. Basically the best period in team history, in franchise history, was when I was the owner. And I let my guy do his thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I just signed the checks, you know. And I let him be Mike Gillis. He did his thing, and it was fine. The worst period in team history was when I was interfering with everything, and now I have stopped interfering, and things are good again. So I think even for someone as like pig-headed as him, I think he gets it.
Yeah.
On some level, or the rest of his family gets it, and they're like, "Hey, man, you got to get your shit together." Everyone hates us now.
Hey, whatever's happened, though, I am here for it. Before we started recording, we're recording this pretty late on Thursday.
Yes.
Bit sleepy. I feel like I'm going to mispronounce more names than usual.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm here for it. I'm going to get in trouble for not knowing how to pronounce a German word. This is the thing about geniuses, is they read a lot, but then they don't talk. And so, like, I know what the word means, but...
Yeah,
I ain't saying it. You think I'm walking around a job site saying, "Was it the thing when you take pleasure from other people's failure?"
Schadenfreude,
yeah. Whatever. It's the same shit.
Yeah, I mean, you got the point. People knew what you meant.
People knew what I meant.
Yeah,
I can't speak German because, folks, I'm not a racist.
There you go.
Thank you. Anyways. big game for the Canucks last night.
Oh, my God.
Let's talk. Let's revel in it.
I said this to you before we started recording. Like, I think that's, in terms of games I remember watching, that's like a top three game of all time, right?
It is, and look, this is up there.
A team that has obviously never won the cup, right?
Because
I feel like, you know, if you've won the cup, you know what your best game is, right?
Yeah, it'd be the one where you won, probably.
Presumably, yeah. Whereas in this case, you know, we haven't. So I think this is up there with, I know it's round to game one, right? Like it's not like a deciding game or anything, but given the storylines going in, given how the game went for the first half, you know, I think it's like at least a top five Canucks game of all time in terms of ones that I've watched personally.
Let's see. Cause yeah, like we don't remember 94. So
no, game seven against the Blackhawks,
yeah,
for sure. Right,
I'd say game two against Boston.
Yeah,
Burrows in overtime.
Yeah,
which
that
like
was...
through the because one, I was at that game.
Yeah,
and two, like yes, through hindsight and like knowing what came after it, awful.
Yeah.
But when I remember the experience of being there and like how we were partying on the streets afterwards and like the immaculate vibes. Like I can kind of compartmentalize that night with like everything that came afterwards.
Yeah.
What are some, I guess the station goal stanchion. See?
Yeah.
We've already started, baby.
Game five against San Jose. Yeah. I mean, 2011 has a lot of them, obviously. Like even game five against Boston, you know, when they go up 3-2, obviously it felt a little different knowing we're going back to Boston and it was kind of just like over at that point. But, yeah, I mean, that was huge, obviously. I would say like, even like a regular season game, like the Sedin's last game was like incredible, right? Mm-hmm. You know, given the context for it, or the game against Calgary where they scored the between the legs goal when they were just fucking popping off. Like I've never seen them pop off before. That was incredible too. But this, I've watched a
replay just for like the, I guess the older listeners, if we have any game seven against Calgary in 94.
Sure.
Sat my white ass down and listened while watched that game.
If I was 5 years old, right?
Yeah.
I was four or five, because that would have been in like April 94, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I probably just turned five. I don't remember that at all, obviously.
Yeah.
But if I did, I think that would clearly be.
I remember it was on like NHL Network. Like, remember how they'd play old games in
NHL,
the summer?
Like Classic or whatever. That was
actually
great.
No. Remember Canucks pay-per-view games?
Yes.
Yeah. So we got like the Canucks pay-per-view package. I was able to coerce my mom into buying that. And that was sweet because you got Shorthouse and Larshide, who I only like heard about on like Canucks.com forums and how great they were. But I mean, I was watching the TV. Like I didn't have this is way back when you weren't listening to internet radio. I couldn't just like put it on my phone.
Yeah.
So I'd like heard about how good they were. And maybe you'd see a clip with like the Larshide call, not Larshide call, with the Shorthouse and Larshide call. So it was great. Like getting them. And then you had a, what was that guy's name? Gregory Volk.
Oh, Gary Volk.
Gary Volk.
Gary
Volk.
He
had him and Kirk McLean as like the hosts.
I feel like Gary Volk was he on Sportsnet for a while too?
I think he was also on Sportsnet after that for a bit. But like,
yeah,
I first remember him on the pay-per-view games. But there was one pay-per-view game where you had the pay-per-view game and then they played game 7, 1994 against Calgary immediately after it. And it was like an abridged version with no like intermissions or whatever. So it just took like an hour and a half to watch. And so I like watched that after an actual Canucks game because like I knew it was historically important and I wanted to see what all the stories were about. Right.
Yeah. I was alive for it, but I wish I was aware of that series at the time because it's so fucking crazy.
Yeah. You're just fucking playing with Legos like some dumbass kid. But yeah,
I think I was playing with, Brio at the time, which was like the wooden train tracks.
Nice. Yeah, those
hard
are
to believe, Aaron, but I was really obsessed with trains as a child.
No shit, huh?
Yeah.
I've ruined my Instagram algorithm by like sharing really shitty stuff back and forth with Tom and with our friend Ben.
Yeah.
And
your stories and Tom's stories are so funny.
Yeah.
Because it's just the worst shit in the world. The one recent meme you've been sharing of the people doing like the fake like fighting.
Oh, it's so fucking shitty.
I hate it so much, man. It's so bad.
I hate it so bad. Like my girlfriend especially hates it. Like if she hears the New Order remix song like coming from my phone from a room over, she'll like yell at me.
Yeah.
Because for a while that was all of my suggested reels.
Yeah.
But where was I going with this? I forget. No, it's gone. Completely derailed. It was some shitty stuff that I saw on Instagram. And it was like pertinent to what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Oh, yeah. I remember now. It's been starting to feed me a bunch of like, I guess like special needs, Instagram reels. And it's because
like the heartwarming stuff.
Yeah. Like it's, and like some of it, like most of it is like good and heartwarming, right?
Sure.
And then, except for like shitty comments that you read. But it all started because there's this like really awful woman who has like a like autistic son who like gets violent fits or whatever.
Right.
And she's like her husband, or the dad, I guess, the dad's filming this kid try and like get into the pantry because he really wants to eat chips and guacamole, but they don't want him to eat anymore. And she's like trying to like body check him like out of the room and is like planting her hands on either side of the doors as he's trying to force her through. And I guess they came to the compromise that he could eat the guacamole, but no chips. And I like shared that to Tom being like, it's really fucking awful that these people are exploiting their like special needs kid to get Instagram real ad money. Like,
yeah,
if he's having a freak out episode, you shouldn't be filming that. You should be like tending to your son. And even if you are filming it, like you shouldn't be posting it on your public Instagram, you monster. Anyways, after sharing that, now all I get is stuff about like your kid growing up with autism. And I had this one today of like signs your kid is autistic. And I'm like, these are all normal things. Of course you're going to walk on your toes. It's like you're a velociraptor. It's fucking cool. Oh, you're spinning around toys in your hand, like closing your eyes and walking for a long period of time. Completely normal stuff, folks. The game last night. We've only had seven games so far this playoffs. And I would say four of them are like incredibly high drama, thrilling Canucks wins. There was the 12-second comeback in game one. There was Pew Suter scoring with a minute and a half left to clinch the series. There's, of course, the comeback victory in game four against Nashville. And then we have like the game last night where they scored four unanswered goals to win 5-4.
Insane. Like, and then the two goals in like 30 seconds right at the end. Like, that was crazy.
The exact same thing,
with
right?
With 5 minutes left in the game, too, by the way. Like,
if we were writing a gritty reboot of the Mighty Ducks movies and we're like scripting hockey games for high drama, I feel like the results that we've had so far, especially last night's, where it's like the big, bad, evil team with the best player in the world that's coming in cocky and they get up early and we're trying our best, but then like bad goals go in, but we don't quit and they come back and win it in regulation. And like, you even have like the big zany tough guy, Russian comic relief guy, get the tying goal. Like, it was so on the only way it would have been better is if like Garland got a, if it was an overtime and Garland got a penalty shot and scored like missing the breakaway, like that would be the only way it could be more like on the nose. Incredible game.
It was unreal. It was just a ridiculous, ridiculous game. And yeah, I mean, I've been watching the highlights of it like all day. Like, how could you not, really?
The Don Taylor like highlights package that they put up on YouTube and on Twitter afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's so good. I've watched that like four or five times since last night. Like,
it's wonderful. It's fantastic.
So we know that like game one of a series isn't the end all be all. Like, you know, Boston crushed Florida game one and then got crushed game two.
And then the comparison I saw people making and I was thinking of making too is the Calgary Edmonton series a couple years back, where Calgary, it was like, wasn't it like 8-5 or something in game one?
Calgary Edmonton.
It was something crazy like that.
I want to like get this completely right because it was 9-6.
Yeah. That was game one.
Yeah.
That felt a little different though, I feel like, right? Like this feels more deflating.
Yeah. So the other thing that was pointed to a lot was Winnipeg and Colorado, where Colorado won four straight right afterwards. But I think there's a difference because, damn it, I want to see the entire like blow by blow of that game. Cause I just have like the period blow by blow of the Calgary Edmonton game one. Because it was 3-1 after the first period for Calgary. And then after the second period, it was 6-5. And I feel like Calgary like had an even bigger lead. And then Edmonton came storming back. And then Calgary scored another three goals in the third period. But it was very much like a blown lead, I want to say.
Yeah.
So like, And the same thing with that Winnipeg game when they scored a shitload of goals. Yeah, it was 5-1 at a certain point.
Okay.
And then 5-2, 6-2, and then Edmonton scores four straight to make it 6-6. And then Calgary scored three straight,
what an insane
including an empty
game.
Netter. Yeah.
What an insane game. That, so, I mean, that was a crazier game. This feels like way more of a stomach punch for the Oilers.
That's why I like it, right, is that it wasn't the Canucks getting to this big lead and then holding on for dear life at the end. Mm-hmm. It was Edmonton, like, fucking around and finding out.
Yes.
Like, it's hard to differentiate, like, what exactly happened, right? Like, my take when the Canucks were down 4-1, 4-2, and I assumed that they were going to lose, was Canucks played a good game. And, like, yeah. Some of that is score effects, and it sucks to lose. And as I've, like, thought about it more today, it's really important that they won a game where, like, McDavid didn't really do much. He didn't have a shot on goal. Like,
the first time in his playoff career, no shots on net. I mean, in fairness, he had that one play at the end where he put it between Shilov's legs, right?
Yeah. Like,
and
he was dangerous.
Went out the side. He
still.
Was, for sure. I mean, it's McDavid. He's terrifying.
He wasn't as noticeable as I think you've grown to expect him to be. But, yeah. I mean, he was still dangerous. Oh, my God. Dallas is just beating the doors off of the Avalanche right now. 4-0.
Wow. Well, yeah. I mean, if anyone can come back, it's the Avalanche.
I know, right? Yeah. But, like, point is, right, like, the Canucks came back, and it was a gut punch to the Oilers in a game where I think they assumed that they were going to win. And
they just, like, stopped playing, it felt like. It was so weird. Like they had, like, so few shots, right, once it was 4-1. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, you have Nurse and CeCe, who are just a disaster. And then Skinner was awful, right?
Yeah.
And, like, The thing with the Oilers is, like, and I mean, even the Canucks too, but I think the Canucks with Demko are scary, potentially, right? It's you look at Dallas and Colorado and even, like, the Rangers, right? Or mm-hmm. Florida, and it's like, man, those teams are, like, they feel like they're another level above. But then I also think, like, it's the Canucks, like, you get Demko in there, they can hang with anyone, right?
Yeah, well, I think they're kind of proven that they can hang with anyone, right? Now,
yeah,
like, I don't know. I look at these remaining teams that are left, and really, besides Boston, they all scare me on some level, right?
For sure.
Though it doesn't look like Carolina is going to be something that we have to consider with them losing their third.
God,
in a row
what
tonight.
Is going
to
happen over there? Like, are they gonna get rid of a bunch of guys? Like, I don't.
I don't know. I think the interesting drama will come with Brendan Moore, right? Because there's already been talks about that. And obviously his agent has been talking to media to stir up some drama. But like, if he wants to get paid, which is, like, completely antithetical to everything that their ownership wants to do, right?
Yeah.
Will they let him go? I think that could be, like, the big shakeup drama. But why would you want to do that if you're Carolina? It's been effective, and I don't really think them losing these close games is a result of, like, bad coaching, right? Like,
no, it's like it just happens, right? Like, you lose overtime games. It's the playoffs. Like, it's a coin flip.
People made fun of Brendan Moore last year, rightfully so, when he was like, it was a sweep. It's not really a sweep. But he was also kind of right. Like, there were a lot of coin flip games where they lost the coin flip, which matters at the end of the day. But, like, from a process perspective, I don't think it's, like, the end of the world, I guess. But is the clock running out? I guess they have UFAs, right? Like, they have Brady Shea. They have
Pesci, I think, is
Brett
a UFA
Pesci
as well.
So
Teravainen.
Is he UFA? Oh yeah, he is UFA.
He's
so, like,
UFA. I think Natchez. He might be an RFA, but I think they're talking about trading him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They're a team that, I mean, they went out and got Gensel, obviously, right? So they did make a big move, but I don't know. And I guess they got Brent Burns a couple years ago as well. Right?
Yeah, he's still got another year left.
Yeah. So they've made moves, but I don't know. I mean, it's they're a team that feels a little bit like Toronto to me. Obviously, they've gotten much further than them. But it does sort of feel like, man, like, I think you could just keep running it back and it'd probably be fine. Toronto, maybe not anymore.
Here's the difference. This isn't an original thought. I think I heard this from, like, Down Goes Brown or Sean Gentile. Shout out to them. But the Washington Capitals in 2019,
yeah,
thing that people always bring up with the Leafs,
yeah,
it's not really fair to the Leafs because, like, where are the Leafs in league standing this year? It's not like they're like perennially winning President's trophies and like making it conference finals and losing out there. They're like not. Fucking goddamn NHL.com took off its standings. 2024 NHL standings. There's something like 10th.
Okay.
Seymour. In terms of points, Maple Leafs 102, which is 5th in the East. They're 10th in points in the NHL, right? So like, okay, a top third team, but it's not like the Hurricanes, who are 111, third in the, yeah, league. It's not like, yeah, they're like getting to conference finals and then losing. Like, I think if you're consistently winning rounds and like getting as far as Carolina has, it's more justified to say like, well, you know, that's the playoffs. Let's try anything it again. Can happen. We've, yeah, got a good core here. Let's just keep rolling it back. So, I mean, if I was them and like cheering for them, I probably wouldn't want them to do a whole hell of a lot different. A part of me is excited as like someone that would like to see Gensel in a Canucks jersey, that they're losing, because that makes that a higher likelihood of, look, happening.
My number one target for the offseason is Ehlers. And I know so many Canucks fans who have talked about just straight up Hronek for Ehlers. Like, that's we're going to be seeing that trade proposal so often this summer.
Yeah, that's the thing about trading Hronek is he's RFA, right? So if you're trading him, it would probably have to be like a sign and trade type deal, or with, yeah, something worked out, unless the team's supremely confident that they could sign him. So somewhere like Winnipeg, I don't think, unless they're ready to pony up, right? Which maybe they are, because they're losing DeMello, Dillon. Well, they're UFAs at the very least. They could potentially lose them. So maybe that's, yeah, something that they would be interested in, but who knows if Hronek wants to go there long term. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, obviously as a Canucks fan, that would be fucking awesome. Clearly, Winnipeg doesn't respect the man, so.
No, I don't know why you would trade him, but yeah.
Like, it just, that's, they hate the guy.
It's going to be kind of a crazy offseason. Like, not necessarily for the Canucks, but for a lot of other teams.
Yeah, it is funny to be talking about, like, offseason and, like, other team stuff when the Canucks are, like, up 1-0 is the Edmonton Oilers in the second round of the playoffs. But
yeah,
I certainly have thoughts about it. Maybe we'll circle back to it later and talk more about the series at hand right now before we completely lose the thread.
I think that's smart, yeah.
Before the playoffs started, and we were talking about like the bracket and how it's like, while I would have liked Vegas and Edmonton to beat the shit out of each other, I would much rather face an Edmonton team that beat LA,
yeah,
like kind of easily, versus Edmonton who had to overcome Vegas, or worse yet, Vegas who beat Edmonton. And this is kind of, that played out how I thought that would play out, I guess, like my like optimistic scenario in my head. I worry that since they kind of got embarrassed last game, that there's going to be a big flurry to start game two. But
there was a big flurry to start game one as well.
Yeah,
I guess, right?
There was a big flurry against the last time we played them in the regular season as well for the Pacific championship,
the biggest
right?
Thing, the biggest thing really seems to be what is going to happen to Draisaitl. Like, because he is clearly hurt.
That is, was, oh is, no, it's is just cramps, Stefan. Did you not listen
to
Mobla?
Yeah, yeah. Zadorov's really going after his cramps really hard by cross-checking him. I mean, that was great to see as well. It's nice to see, I don't know, it feels like a player like Zadorov doing that, that seems like something that would happen to us for year after year, right? Zadorov, to me, seems like what Bufflin was to us, right? A little bit?
Yeah.
Just this big, scary guy, right?
Big, scary guy, fucking not as big a deal on the power play, because I guess he's not playing it, but
yeah,
he has been producing, he's been big, he's been mean.
Yeah.
It's so nice to have that guy on your team. And this is what I was saying going into the Nashville series. Like, my entire life as a Canucks fan, the Canucks are the highly skilled team of power play merchants that get picked on with a high flying offense. And when push comes to shove in the playoffs and like the games get more defensive and like clutchy and grabby and dirty and the whistles get put away, then they're not allowed to play to their biggest strengths. And it's always kind of their downfall. So having seen that so much from the other side, I was excited to play the high flying Nashville Predators that had Andrew Brunette as a coach. And we'd seen how he'd done in the playoffs before. And I think Brunette coached a good series. I think he's a little piss baby for saying it's the second time that the better.
That was so funny.
Motherfucker, you lost in six.
Our third string goalie.
Yeah. Well, without like our second biggest star, I would say, performing at all. Like, if you're so good, why don't you play better, bitch? and like, if you look at the underlying numbers, the Canucks are way better throughout the entire series. So I don't see where you think that Nashville was the better team, but I guess keep giving us the whiteboard material. So,
very rare to get like, whiteboard material from a team you just beat. But
exactly. Fuck them. There's plenty for Edmonton too, right? What, their post game was really funny.
Oh man. Oh, we played fine.
It was good, actually.
Yeah. They like, you look at the advanced stats, they did not play that well. Like, they got quite lucky on a lot of the goals. Like, I just think, I don't know. It just seems, it's so weird to be on this side. And look, it's game one. Like you said, you can't get too far ahead of yourself. You can see Edmonton just like popping off on Friday, like no question. Like, they're still a very scary team. But I think getting that win in that fashion is just like so deflating, right? Mm-hmm. And Draisaitl potentially being hurt is so big, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, McDavid is still terrifying, but like, that's it, even if he's playing and he's like, it's huge.
If he's playing and ineffective, that is is massive, right? It just takes.
But they're
away,
also just
like,
gonna go after him too, which is gonna piss him off. And he's a guy who takes bad penalties when he's pissed off, right? Like,
not that it matters with the Canucks power play, but neither here nor there. It probably like 2 minutes where Edmonton is less likely to score, which is nice. And it's good to like see him in the box, but taking him off the shelf is huge. Like, he missed practice today and they said after practice that he's day to day.
Yeah.
So I don't think you're ever day to day with cramps.
His back is bothering him a lot is what it really seems to be. Like, his back is
grabbing at it and
Zadorov was going after it, right?
Yeah,
like, having those big guys back there, it's so refreshing. It's such a nice change. And it just gives you so much confidence, I think, too. Like, no one's really taking liberties around our net, and I cannot remember ever seeing that.
Last night, when Evander Kane got kind of close, Zadorov was immediately in his face, being a little bastard.
Oh, like, I loved it.
We've said it before. They have to re-sign Zadorov, right?
I think they are smart. I think they're seeing the same stuff that we're seeing. Like, we're fans, right?
Yeah.
And I know, you know, obviously Zadorov plays a very like loud game, right? Mm-hmm. And so when he's playing like this, it's very noticeable in a good way, right? But like, I'm sorry, like, Hronek obviously started off the season very well. How much of that was him playing with Hughes, right?
Yeah.
And now that the chips are down, like, yeah, you don't necessarily want to give out a huge contract based off like the playoffs. That's how you get Jay Beagle. But this is kind of clearly not a Jay Beagle thing. Like, the Jay Beagle thing was, oh, he was on a team that won the cup, right? This is Zadorov being like, it's the playoffs. Same with Joshua. This is the playoffs and we're fucking coming to play, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And like, with how much talks about how he loves him and how he like makes him laugh in the game and how he's great in the room. Like, Tocchet brings him up just apropos of nothing to glow about like how big of a presence he is on the team and how much they appreciate him. There was Friedman talking today. The Canucks would like to re-sign for Zadorov, but the biggest issue is term. And just give him the extra year or two. I don't care. He thinks he's a bit of a wild man. He rises to the occasion. Oh, this is Friedman. The tweet's from Buck Faust. And summarizing what Friedman said somewhere. But yeah, Elliot thinks he's a bit of a wild man. He rises to the occasion. He loves the intensity of the market and that he's a big game player and does not shrink in the moment, which we've seen, right? Like, he has been so clutch in game five where they lost and he scored that go-ahead goal. Like,
yeah, he scored the only goal in game two. And then, yeah, I mean, yesterday, just like, I have watched that slap shot. Like, I've watched the Garland goal a bunch, obviously, but the Zdorov goal, like, that was so cool, man. Just fucking... And, like, is that a goal that Skinner should have saved? Probably.
Yeah.
Right? But it's all, he was also kind of screened by three of his own guys, too, and it is, like, a hard shot from Zdorov. The Garland goal, he probably should have
had. The Garland one, I think, is the one that he'd want back the most. That or the one where he put it into his own net, like the Lindholm.
That was great. Second that was goal. Really nice to see. Yeah. I mean,
smart play by Lindholm, just like of throwing course. It out there, right?
And
like,
how good has Lindholm been, by the way?
Yeah, he was very good last night. Because there was that report last week from Dhaliwal that he believes that the Canucks are going to make a real run at retaining Lindholm. And this has been getting my head spinning a lot.
Yes, you've been doing a lot of like roster.
I've been tinkering with the cap friendly armchair GM function.
Yes,
like trying to wrap my head around how you make a team out of this. Given like, it's like what do you think Lindholm would get?
Man, I mean, before the playoffs, not very much.
Yeah,
right. Now, I mean, he's looked really, really good.
Mm-hmm. There's someone in our Discord. I wish I could remember who, because they spent money on it. Evolving Hockey did
the contract
comparable thing, right?
Yeah.
And it had Lindholm at 7.8.
Yeah, I was going to say somewhere between like 7.5 and 8. So,
yeah. So I did two. The first one was before that came out, and I put him at $7 million, which I think is fair and like a discount or whatever.
Yeah, because we're in a situation where the team is doing really well, and you have guys who maybe will want to take discounts or team-friendly deals. Yeah. I mean, I think Pettersson kind of did, right? Like, yeah, obviously.
That's kind of the logic I've been working under is, like, Pettersson easily could have, like, squeezed them for 12-plus, and he took slightly less. So I'm thinking of like, okay, what would be the UFA market deal? And then just kind of shaving off 500K, right?
Yeah.
But I've been like, I think in order to retain Lindholm, you have to get rid of Mikheyev. Salary dump, pure salary dump, right?
He's got to be gone.
When you think of it in those terms, it's like Mikheyev plus someone for $2.5 million or Lindholm. I think you take Lindholm because of just how much he's been chewing at minutes, the penalty killing utility.
He's like, so good defensively. He's so good on faceoffs. It's crazy.
I kind of just never noticed his like size and big body presence, which has been good in the playoffs too. The only thing with re-signing him is you already have like $20 million committed at center, right? Are you really wanting to commit that much more? But I could also really see him like getting another run with Pettersson next season, right? Depending on what else they do.
I mean, I would love it if they gave Pettersson some guys to play with now. Because I do think it's a little unfair to him. Like, he looked really good yesterday.
He did. Yeah. Like, fuck, we haven't even talked about Pettersson yet. That was his best game of the playoffs by far. Yeah. I need to look at what they... Because I was like keeping track of it during the game, and I knew his line was doing quite good, Corsi wise. Yeah, they were the highest Corsi line for the Canucks last night. 7-4, 3 against. They had what was their expected goals? Is it not showing up? Yeah, 96% of expected goals that line had, but like. Mikheyev is just where offense goes to die.
It's unfortunate because he is he's like super fast. When we talked about this already, he's fast. He's often in the right place at the right time. He just cannot finish to save his life.
Fuck the JT Miller line, which was matched like not hard match, but like I guess soft matched against McDavid last night. 71% of expected goals, shots for were 4-2. Corsi 4 was 12-6. They Shout out to them as well. Brock Besser as well on that final shift.
Oh, my God.
Blocking two shots.
How many, like, four? He was just throwing his body out there like... Oh, sorry. Kiki's eating some bread.
Some bread?
She's eating some bread off the table. Kiki. Well, it's not really the table because we're moving. So it's like a little like folding desk thing because we got rid of our table. But
yeah.
Anyway, yeah, Besser was like everyone just played outside of Shilov's, I guess. Like, but even then we, you know, like they won, right? Like,
yeah did he give up some at the end rough when goals? He had to, sure. I guess.
Yeah.
Like,
man.
The goals last night, too, like, I guess he overcommitted, like, the second goal, right, which is where he was moving in front of the screens, like, he went to look over the wrong, like, side and then was just, like, too far out. I feel like if that goal was scored on Casey DeSmith, we would have made a much bigger deal of it.
For sure. Yeah.
And
it's sometimes with DeSmith and Shilov's, it feels like the meme of, like, the guy... The handsome guy being
what's
up, baby?
Yeah.
And then, like, the ugly guy saying...
HR! Yeah, that's absolutely... Yeah, I think so as well. The... I don't know. I heard a lot of talk on the radio today about maybe Demko makes the save on the power play when it's, like, the east-west and stuns it, and you think, wow, the Canucks are lucky to have Demko make that save. I know that goals 3 and 4 were deflections. I'll give him the third one. But I feel like you got to close your five hole, brother. On the fourth goal, that one felt so weak and deflating.
The fourth goal, I mean, I didn't turn off the game, but it was like, I have the game on my second monitor. I have it muted at that point. And I'm like, well.
I'm going to look at my phone now. I'll keep track of this. Yeah,
I was watching a Twitch stream. And then, the second goal, I was like, okay, all right, I'll watch the third. And then the third period was like, I mean, just
electric.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
it was beautiful. Yeah.
You like, after it became 4-3, I went from like lying posture on the couch to like gaming posture where you're like sat forward and leaning. And it worked for me. So maybe I'll have to watch the entire next game like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I had the jersey on. I don't know. I'm not sure. Like I'm not sure what my, superstition is anymore for the playoffs.
It's
maybe
tough,
that's
right?
A good thing. You
know? Maybe it doesn't mean anything. You should have grown a playoff beard. That would have been a good
I know, but now it's too late now. I think. Pettersson's is looking pretty good. I gotta say.
Yeah. Like I've just started perceiving the playoff beards more. I know Zadorov has been keeping it clean shaven, but I don't think he can grow that good of a beard.
No, which is kind of unfortunate because if he could grow like a
dope.
Big sick beard, that would be awesome. Yeah.
Oh man. Hronek, I think, was good last night. He had that one really nice back check on McDavid that I noticed. Mm-hmm. And there's a few times in the offensive zone where like he's threatening to shoot or slap pass at 100 miles per hour. And I was thinking about a future without Hronek and like replacing that offensive threat. I'm like, I think just like the most likely thing is the Canucks will take a good run at re-signing him.
I think so.
I just don't think for like over $7.5 million.
No.
Right?
And we know this team is like ruthless, right? We know the management group is ruthless. We know they were apparently trying to trade Lindholm at the deadline, right? So they're willing to, I don't want to call Hronek a mistake, obviously, because I think he's been really good. But they're willing to change their mind, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Which, they're very flexible.
Which is why I've had like such hard time like figuring out next year, because I don't know, you're watching this team perform well in the playoffs and you're like, I want them all back.
Yeah.
And then you like look at the financials and it just doesn't make, I can't make it make sense. Like I did one roster where I assume they traded Hronek for just straight up picks. I just like got the money away. And then use that to re-sign Zadorov at $5 million and bring in Tanev at $4 million. So it was like $9 million instead of like the $7.5 million or whatever. And this also had Lindholm at $7 million and Joshua at $3.3 million. But then like my fourth line was DiGiuseppe, Nils Amon, and Pod Colson. I brought in like Artur Seelov to be the backup. I added at $1.5 million.
Okay.
I brought back Tyler Myers at $3 million, which you don't have to do. But like... Myers was really fucking good last night.
He was. He honestly was.
But he wants to be in Vancouver, and they all like him. And fuck it, if he's gonna play like this, give me more Tyler Myers. I don't care. But then, like,
it does not sound as crazy as it once did.
Yeah,
I will say that.
And basically, I had like $3 million of leftover cap space, and so I just put like Jason Zucker there to play with Oglander and Pettersson. But then the fourth line is G. Giuseppe Amon and Pod Colson. Like, that's not a line that's playing.
No.
Right? Like, no. That's not very good. And so it's like, you basically kept the bones of the team together, but now you don't have Hronek. You have Tanev, who's like older instead. And I mean, he's awesome, but like.
And he's looked really good for Dallas, yeah, too. So.
And so, like, maybe your team's better. But I just don't think like the defense maybe has as good of a puck moving pop.
The thing I look at is like, okay, well, yeah, maybe they get rid of a couple guys. They're overpriced. They can't afford them anymore, right? Mm-hmm. Like maybe Joshua leaves. Maybe they get rid of Hronek, whatever. Well, these are the same pro scouts that brought those guys in, right? They brought in Joshua for pretty fucking cheap, right?
Yeah.
Like I have confidence that they can target the right guys and do that again. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So. There is that to keep in mind, is that the pro scouting is like good now, and I do have confidence that if Joshua gets 4.5 or 5 million somewhere else, they can find the next Dakota Joshua, you know.
I heard Drance talk about this a while back, and I found it really interesting about how it's actually worked inside, because the personnel, like the pro scouting personnel, largely the same, right?
Yeah.
From like the betting regime. But what's different is Cammy Granato's come in and like completely changed how organized it is, and like the systems of reporting and how that they work sense together, etc. And so they've really just empowered them to like be the best at their jobs that they can be. And it seems to have paid dividends. I guess my point with like the cap friendly poking around is, if we bring back everyone that we want to bring back at like what's probably fair and market value, you're going to have a really shitty fourth line.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's just, this is kind of the way it is, right?
That's kind of the way that's what happens with good teams as well. And like with the Lindholm thing, I guess Gensel's going to demand more than like 7.5-8 million, right?
Oh, I think probably he'll ask for 10. I mean with the cap going up, right? Like people are gonna get paid this summer.
Yeah.
Well, people are also gonna get paid by that new Saudi 3-on-3 league too. Yeah. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, no, I was looking at that. Anyone that didn't hear, like Steve Dangle had a 5-minute video on X where they outlined that there's gonna be a new 3-on-3 league starting this fall, with a internal salary cap of $30 million.
Yeah, I don't think Steve Dangle said it was Saudi money, but someone else did.
Someone else reported it later. Yeah,
does not surprise. It's them
teams.
And it's Saudi money and Bauer. Is it also co-ed?
It could potentially be co-ed if we.
And I think there's something like
the team. Yeah,
they can only have a certain number of like star players, and they're like determining like what qualifies as a star player or something too.
And then the rest will be filled out by like NCAA.
Vancouver might get a team. I would go watch that for sure.
You know what I think of it as is like rugby sevens.
Yeah,
because you have like rugby union, which is like the main rugby that you like the World Cup and what they watch in New Zealand and the UK, etc. But then there's sevens, which is like you have 7 people on the field instead of 15. Same idea.
Yeah.
It's faster. They go on a world tour. It's really fun. It doesn't have like, it's what they play in the Olympics, right? Like it's just easier to digest. And so I could see it being popular. It's not going to like replace the NHL for me, but hey, it could be fun. Fuck it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And probably not good that like the Saudis are greenwashing hockey as well to a certain extent, right?
Yeah.
I guess it's good that like more players can get paid, and like it might, assuming it's successful, like, you know, make the NHL have to like do some things that are better.
I don't know that it's necessarily going to become like the LIV golf thing where LIV like won essentially. Especially if the salary cap is only $30 million, which I mean is obviously a lot of money, and you know, they have money to throw around to players who, like, if you're like a fourth line guy, right? Like, why would you, and you have an offer for like $3 million a year from the Threes League or League Min, right? I mean, I get, obviously the big thing is like with LIV Golf and the PGA, I mean, yeah, you have like the, you know, the majors, right? Mm-hmm. The golf majors and stuff, right? But yeah, those are the prestigious ones. But most of it is like, you just want to win and make money, right? Like, whereas with hockey, like, yeah, it's the Stanley Cup, right? Like no one,
yeah,
there's no prestige to the Threes League. But yeah, if you are like a kind of a AHL tweener type guy, right? Like Adam Gaudette, I guarantee is going to be playing in the Threes League.
You're
going
to see Jake Virtanen in there for show.
Oh my God. Holy shit. I hope not. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's getting scratched in Switzerland, I think. So maybe
yeah,
not.
Yeah, maybe not. But yeah, like if you're Matt Murray, perhaps, right? And yeah, like it would average out as to like $3 million per player, I think, with their salary cap, right?
Something I do feel like that, that's the type of league that would really suck as a goalie.
Yeah. But I mean, if they're offering to pay you like $6 million or it's, you know, to take a 1 year deal to back up somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. But why not? Right.
Why not?
And like, I'm sure someone's going to get enough money thrown at them where they'll think, yeah, you know what? Yeah. So I don't know, maybe it'll be like older players. Like who are some old UFAs?
Maybe Jágr will go play there.
Yeah. Well,
could be kind of sick.
Jeff Carter retired.
Yeah.
Like Corey Perry, maybe.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I mean, honestly, you want minimum wage in the minimum wage, minimum contract, which is still, you know, $775,000. Or if you're like, you get like 3 or 4 times that, live in Omaha, which is apparently getting a team, Quebec City. It's kind of cool.
Vancouver,
they're going to markets.
Vancouver, apparently.
Yeah. Vancouver, apparently. But like, it'll probably be like Langley, right?
Yeah.
Because it's not like they're going to share rinks with NHL teams.
Right. It'll be Langley or it'll be, I mean, I guess they could do the PNE again, maybe. I don't know if the Pacific Coliseum is, but yeah, it's not going to be Rogers Arena.
No, fuck no.
Certainly.
Well, no. There isn't an Alberta team, right? But like we have the Wranglers in Calgary. They play at the Saddle Dome. And yeah,
are they owned by the same?
It's the same exact same shit. Like the Wranglers mascot is Blasty, which is the horse from the Flames jersey,
right?
And now at Flames games, you get both Harvey the Hound and Blasty, who's the Wranglers mascot, and they're like walking around getting up to hijinks with each other. So yeah, it's all the same crew, right? Similar to like the Abbotsford Canucks, except. If the Abbotsford Canucks played at Rogers Arena,
right,
that's what the Wranglers are.
Abbotsford out of the playoffs now, by the way.
Yeah, RIP.
All the Black Aces coming up, I guess. Lakara Mackey's going to probably come up and be skating with the NHL team, which is cool.
Here's what I didn't know. The like 3 call-ups from the AHL, which Vancouver had used on Tolopilo and Seelovs already, so they had like 1 more. Now that their team's out, that doesn't exist. So they can bring up whoever the hell they want to be a part of the team. So I'm sure like we'll get a whole bunch.
Yeah, Baines, Podkolzin.
Like if Lakara Mackey came back, you'd assume Lakara Mackey, Sheldon Dries, Cole McWard, Matt Irwin. I don't know if Will Annan's healthy, maybe him. Bring up Tristan Nielsen too. Fuck it. Get the whole crew going.
Good having everyone around. Yeah, exactly.
Why not?
Yeah.
Good experience for him. So last night, Money Puck had the Canucks at 69% deserve to win-o-meter.
Sounds about right.
Sounds about right. Now, I kept almost making this point earlier. How much of like the Canucks' good underlying numbers were score effects? Because they were down effectively the whole game. And I don't think Edmonton's plan was to sit back and defend their lead, but they did seem like very comfortable.
Yes.
Like until they weren't. And even then it wasn't enough to like,
it was really strange. It I don't want to say they didn't like give up, but it was just kind of like, it was sort of just like, what are you guys doing? You know, it just felt like, it felt very odd to me.
Well, and that's kind of like the story of when Edmonton always gets eliminated from the playoffs is they get a little bit sleepy.
Yeah.
And maybe don't respect their opponents or I don't know. And then just before you know it, it's too late, which is my hope is that the Canucks win a bunch of games and then win the series. But if the Canucks can win again tomorrow on Friday, right? Yeah. Going at Edmonton 2-0, it could always come back to Vancouver tied 2-2, sure. Yeah. But we like know we're going to get a series on it. And I would like feel quite confident that they'd be able to pull out, you know, two wins out of the next five games, if that is the case.
So, I think so, yeah.
Very big game. Definitely a world where I can see them go up fucking 3-0. Who cares, oh, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, look at New York and Carolina, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't think anyone saw that coming, right? Fuck so man. My worry a little bit is like they could maybe try to rush Demko back if things go bad potentially, but I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. It's like if they have Demko in net yesterday, like you said, how much of it is score effects? But if they have Demko in net yesterday, like I think it's just a blowout, right? Like I think the game develops differently, but it's like Demko's not letting in like at least two of those goals, right?
Yeah. Well, so Vancouver had the Garland breakaway in the first. They had that post in the first.
Yeah.
If it's 2-2 going into the first intermission, how does the game look different, right?
Yeah.
Like, do you get like a bigger effort out of Edmonton and maybe it's harder? I don't know. But
yeah, it's again, I mean,
stupid
you can't
analysis because
really...
you're like, hey, what if this game went entirely different?
What if
it didn't,
it was totally
right?
different? Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
So,
yeah.
I mean, how much can you like project out what the next game's going to be? It's, I don't know. There's like a lot of the points where we pointed to like why Vancouver might win, which is, you know, Edmonton being a bit cocky, their defense yeah. blows. Stuart Skinner can be weak at times, right? And those things like don't give them too many power plays. It seems like they hit all the beats on like what a successful series would be like for the Canucks. And I also think the Canucks think that they have areas where they can improve on. I didn't listen to the Tocchet press today, but he talked to the media for 17 minutes. Long
that
as
video, the video of Tocchet at the end of the game yesterday got me so pumped up, man.
He is so cool. He
oh
actually
my
like
God, him high fiving the fans.
He like, half apologized for I know, that today, I which is funny. He's like, I
he said
a
Foot was gonna fine him or something. I think, yeah.
He maybe getting ahead of ourselves. He feels like someone that could be like you know, Sullivan Cooper tenured coach in Vancouver with just like how good he is with the media, how much like
oh, yeah.
upper management seems to like him, how he's like just really changed the culture of how the team plays. Like they no longer yeah. seem like they're playing like victims. Like
they're like one of the best defensive teams in the league
it's
now.
Crazy.
It's incredible. It's like, such a crazy, I mean, Hughes said yesterday, he's like, yeah, Tocchet got the stink out of the room, you know?
Yeah.
And like, that's not like an insult necessarily to like Horvat or Boudreaux, but it kind of also is, right? Like
yeah,
you can't
like,
look at it that way.
He said what we were all thinking, right? Like,
yeah.
Listen to an episode of the podcast from last year. Where, like, this team is a cancer. They're a bunch of born fucking losers.
Oh my God.
And now with like
yeah.
largely the same personnel and just like a different mindset, it's an entirely different team. It's crazy.
It's nuts.
And we love it.
We love it. We really do.
Here's another funny thing. Mark Spector. Did he
post anything crazy? Or
no, I was really hoping that he'd post something crazy or say something crazy in like the fucking press afterwards. None of that.
Damn.
And he's been on like Vancouver radio a bunch this week.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking, all right, here it comes. Here's the stupid Mark Spector thing. And he's just like very calm and just like, yeah, I mean, they didn't come out to play and they lost. But, you know, McDavid's the best player in the world and we'll see what happens. Who knows? He's like incredibly nonchalant.
Damn, that's annoying.
And like, I'm kind of bummed, right? Because I wanted something to laugh at. And
yeah.
then okay. Stefan. He was asked a question about the CeCe and Nurse pairing.
Okay.
And
which they were awful last night.
Well, not according to Mark Spector.
Okay.
So his argument was that they did nothing wrong. And Stuart Skinner let in three bad goals. And so you analytics crowd will look at the -3 next to their name and say, oh, yeah, those players did bad. But it has nothing to do with the players on the ice. It is just the goalie wasn't good enough.
Look, I hope the Oilers think the same way. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Yeah, like, what's the likelihood that they have to split up that pairing?
I think they'll keep them together. Like, I feel they kept them together most of the season, I believe, right? Like, I think they'll keep them together. And then if it gets really bad, I think they'll try splitting them. But they like them together for whatever reason.
Yeah,
right?
But they looked like shit. And they got scored on three times.
Yeah, they looked really bad.
Spectre was trying to defend Darnell Nurse's defending of Garland on the game-winning goal.
Where I don't know.
He just really let him get it. And there was also, didn't they like choke up the puck in the Canucks zone as well that led to that entire play?
I think
it was Zadorov's like breakout to Joshua.
Yeah.
Shout out Zadorov once again. Yeah, and like Pettersson feasted on, I mean, they didn't score from it, but I think that's just lack of finish of line mates. Like Pettersson was buzzing, super encouraging. But against the third pairing of Kulak and Desharnais, and I guess Ekholm scored. Good for him. I guess CeCe scored too.
He did on that. On the goal that deflected off Ian Cole, who had a very bad game.
Oh, man. Ian Cole is so lucky. Like,
yeah.
If it weren't for that comeback, this episode would probably be titled, like, Ian Miles Cole or something.
That's like, really good.
Despite his best efforts, the Canucks were able to win that game. I guess that's another conversation. Like, do you think they just stick with the same lineup? Do you think Juulsen maybe draws in? Because they did limit his ice time a lot.
I know. I wouldn't be surprised, maybe, if they do. But they won, right? So, but it's,
yeah,
I don't know. It's gonna be very interesting to see what happens.
Let's see. Time on ice, all situations. Yeah, Ian Cole played 13 minutes. The next lowest ice time for a defender was Susie, who had just under 18. Quinn Hughes with the 25 and a half minutes of ice time.
He was very quiet, but he was like good, obviously, right?
Hughes?
Like, yeah.
Solid game. There wasn't a lot of like Hughes fireworks in the offensive zone, but there was a couple of shifts where if like any other player in the world did it, you'd be like, holy shit, they're fucking good with him wheeling in the offensive zone still. It just wasn't like a Benny Hill one that we're like used to seeing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Teddy Bluger only 10 minutes last night.
He had the assist on the Zadorov goal. He looked good there.
Yeah. I mean, the fourth line was all like bottom and ice time. Nils Höglander only 10 minutes and 25 seconds of total ice time compared to like 19 minutes for Petey.
He had a nice breakout pass on the Zadorov goal, but yeah, he's still been very quiet.
He's got to find the back of the net sooner rather than later.
I think
he's too good
not
to.
I know. I think he will.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's that, folks. What a great game.
What a wonderful game.
Oh, baby. Please give me more games like that. I want to see the Canucks defeat the great Satan so bad.
Oh, my God. I really, really hope they do, man.
And you know what? Even if Edmonton wins this series, just based on the form that from last night, because, I mean, they look good against LA. I think either Colorado or Dallas fucking creams them.
They just look, like I said earlier, they just look like they're on like a different level, right? Like,
yeah, which gets me afraid for like if Vancouver has to play one of them in the third round. But I mean, at that point, you're in the Western Conference Finals, like not who cares, but we were saying who cares going into this round. So I can cope my way the entire time until the Cup Finals where then that we fucking mean business. This is our year. But
oh, man.
It's our year anyways.
It kind of seems like it is. Go Canucks, go.
Go Canucks, go. We're going to record after the next game, so check that out on Patreon. Weekly bonus episode.
Thank you for the
support the show.
Oh, the Discord is so much fun to post in and be in during the games also, by the way. So
yeah. And
check
if you're
that
watching
out,
if on Sportsnet now and looking at your phone before a face-off, sometimes you get to learn that the Canucks scored 30 seconds early because cable is faster.
Oftentimes that does happen if you're watching Sportsnet now, unfortunately. Okay. But the Discord is great. Check it out. Join the Patreon. We would appreciate
it. One last
Thank
gripe.
You. Yes.
I I get turned off from watching other NHL games because I can't take the fucking Quest Trade and Connor McDavid at the bank God, commercials.
It's so bad, dude.
The one where there's like the three millennial couples sitting outside in a patio that's like decorated like a bar patio where it's got like the hanging lights, you know, over like their wood balcony.
Yeah. They're like that talking, one sucks, man. I fucking said, hate that one.
Yeah. We got some really good investment advice lately. I'm like, well, don't hold out on us. What is it? Avoid high fees.
I hate it, man.
No shit, ugh. Dumbass. Imagine you're at a fucking dinner party and someone says that to you. You're like, oh, high fees. Holy shit. Tell me more.
Ugh. And it's every single commercial break that one plays, it feels like.
Or,
too.
Yeah, or Professor Dumbass in Business 101.
Oh, that one is even worse, I think. No, God.
Compound returns.
I hate it. I hate it, man. It's so bad.
Like, actively, like, would you prefer these ones or East Side Mario's, A Bada Boom Bada Bing, Cheetah Power Surge?
Bring back those ones for sure.
Yeah, is that just like a nostalgia thing?
I think that's part of it, but at least those are just like stupid commercials with the jingles, right? These are just like so smarmy and annoying.
Yeah. Americans don't know shit about hockey.
Oh my God, dude. Don't even get me started on that guy. Hey, go Canucks, go everyone.
Yeah, make sure you tap that app, folks. Bye.
Yeah.
Wow!